Mr. Snowball, reel 5. We're talking about you pulling out of that position.
Yeah. We'll come under such heavy artillery and mortar fire that the commanding officer decided to bring us back about half a mile, try to get it out of that particular spot. Because that's all we were doing. We were just sitting ducks there waiting for something to come and hit us. We couldn't do anything about it. And they called it the PBI, the infantry, and mind the terrible job, I would reckon.
Did any men crack under the strain of that week?
I did. Because I had all these men, and I was thinking about all them as well. And there was others cracked as well, but...
What form did that take? What was your feeling?
I just can't explain how bad it really was. Terrible. I mean, even today, I'm on tablets. I still have great difficulty. I have nightmares about it. And,
do you come out in a sweat? Do you shake?
What happens? Sweat and shake and all kinds, yeah. In the right state. I was in a terrible state when I first came home. But, we came back to the other side, because all the men then had to go into different units of infantry, and all the sergeants and above were given the option of either going to Burma or joining the military police. And quite a few of us joined the military police. There was two out of our six sergeants decided to go to Burma.
Did you, before you got to that, when you were pulled back, did you go with the regiment up into Belgium and Holland? Did you get that far with them?
No.
This was done whilst you were in Normandy.
We were still more or less in Normandy. I did go to Lille, Knock, Zeebrugge, but that was after we'd gone back with the military police.
We didn't
go there with the guns. No.
So you've given this alternative of going to Burma
or the military police, yeah. And as I say, the men had no alternative. They were just pushed into different regiments, whether they liked it or they didn't like it. And because there wasn't so much need for anti-aircraft guns, because there wasn't the aircraft coming over. The advance was going on and there wasn't the aircraft coming over, so they didn't need so many.
Do you remember what date or period of time this would be when you changed?
The August. Went over in the June. We came back. We were in the line in July. We came back in the August to Aldershot. And that's where all the movement took place. We went on a military police exercise thing.
And where did you go to?
Aldershot first, to get trained to look after ports. We were quite a while at Liverpool.
But what kind of training did they give you?
Oh, about different boats and things, and what you had to do if you caught anybody, and how to make an arrest form out to 252, and the instructors were all ex-detectives, and they told us exactly how to go on, how to make, because there was a special way you had to do this charge sheet out, and otherwise you could lose your case. And we had to go on ports and watch the cargoes, see that they weren't tampered with, one thing and another. And we were stationed in a house. We were all in houses, in Birkenhead actually. And the sergeant majors had a motorbike as usual, and we had to go through the Mersey Tunnel.
And you still have this rank of Sergeant Major?
Still had the rank. They never altered that. I still had the rank, and all the rest were sergeants that you were. You had to place them in different gates on the docks. I mean, all these docks at Liverpool now, I can remember all the names and things that... but of course now it's all changed, you see. There's not the cargo ships and things in there now. And you had to watch for stuff getting stolen and make sure there was no strangers getting on to the docks and things like that.
Was there a lot of pilfering and going on?
Oh, yes. Yes, there was a lot of pilfering. I remember one time there was Americans there as well, looking after their particular parts, and we saw some lovely apples, and he said, "Do you want one?" "Well, I wish I wouldn't mind." He just smashed the crate open. Didn't bother, just smashed the crate open. This is the man that's supposed to be looking after this fruit, and there was all kinds of fruit and stuff.
The convoys were coming up into Liverpool from America.
Oh, yes, they were coming in there from America with foodstuffs and all kinds. Beautiful foodstuffs. The things that we'd never seen, bananas and all kinds. So we were well fed, I'll put it that way. We were well fed by the Americans.
What kind of person was doing the pilfering? Were they military people? You mentioned the American, but I'm thinking in terms of the British here.
No, we were there to stop that. And we were
what about the dockers themselves?
We were there to stop the dockers as well if you could. But believe you me, Liverpool, they're all there. The Wiley.
Did you have the authority to arrest
them?
Civilian?
Oh, yes, we had the authority to arrest anybody that was pilfering or trying to get in without a pass or out without a pass and things like this, because you never know who was around. I mean, one time they were doing an awful lot of alterations on this cargo boat. I mean, wonder what on earth it was the matter. Then we found out that there was one of the royalty was going over to Normandy, and they were making a first-class ship, possibly, of it. To go out. That's what was happening there. But we went from there, we went back again to France, and we were stationed in Cali.
At what time would this be? What period would this be?
About October-ish. About October.
In 1944.
44 or November. We're quite a while in Liverpool and right in here, I know that. And then we went over there and we were stationed at Cali. And we used to say to the embarkation and disembarkation of our troops going on leave and coming back from leave. There was no problem with them going on leave, but coming back from leave, of course, a lot of them knew that they were full of beer and things, and they were in the right state. There was one young guardsman who had a terrible time with him. He was really... He'd won the military medal, but he'd brought a train window, and the drivers of the train wouldn't set the train away because the window had been broken. The Finnish had to get this lad off and take him into the Cali itself and hand them over to the proper military police that were looking after the Cali itself, and leave them there, and we got him back the next morning with a broken nose, and he wasn't a scrap of bother all day. I had him all day actually, as I was going around giving grub out and things like this, and he was a big help. His biggest worry was what was going to happen to him when he got back to his unit. He was going to be 24 hours late, and that was his big worry. And he was a lovely lad. It's just the night before, he had too much to drink, because he knew what he was going back to. I can't say that I blame them, but...
what was your particular role in this, in Cali?
We were looking after the porch just the same. You had the people on the gates and going around the porch looking for any strangers that shouldn't have been there. But our biggest job was embarkation and disembarkation of people going on leave and coming back off leave. Because as soon as one boat was emptied and got them into the big mess where they got some mail, the other lot was ready to go back on that boat. And it was on every day like that.
What was the attitude of the average soldier towards you as a military policeman?
Well, no problem. No problems. They were quite happy to be going on leave, and those were... I saw quite a few coming back off leave that I knew, that belonged to Silksworth. I knew them. And what a bit, kind of a chat. But
there wasn't fighting on?
No, no. Just that one case with that guardsman, unfortunately, it was a struggle to get him under control. That's where he got his broken nose from.
Cali, was it much damaged? It had been held by the Germans for quite
a
while.
There was an awful lot of damage there. In fact, I went back with my son a lot of years later, and I said, I can go around Cali with my eyes shut. But, you know, of course, we travelled around that much. And when I went to the house, I said, hey, I don't know this place. I knew the town hall and places like that, but the rest of the place had been all rebuilt. And I couldn't take it from here to where we were in a house billeted.
The Germans had fortified it, of course, thinking that...
Yeah, they had fortified right along the coast.
Was there much evidence of it when you were there?
Yes, you could still say, some of the places was... a big telegraph pole sticking... I've got a photograph of one. A big telegraph pole in Canota sticking out of a window as though it was a big gun. I thought it was a telegraph pole. But there was an awful lot of damage. And then you had all these things still in the sea that mines attached. They had been attached to them. They weren't then, of course. So all that was there.
How did you get on with the French there? What were they like? You must have been coming into contact with them there.
Quite all right. You had more trouble with your own troops than you had with the French, really. It was.
Were they pleased to have been relieved of the Germans?
Oh, yes, they were as happy as dicky birds, yes. I had one lady used to do my washing for me, yes, and we got on all right to speak, because the daughter was 13 at that particular time. I've got the photos. She could speak English. She was learning at the school. So, you know, we got on easy. And if yourself had picked up a few phrases of French.
So what happened next?
Well, while we were there, I'd been on 6 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon shift. And had gone back to our billets, and we were having a lie down, because we'd been up early. We were just having a lie down on top of the beds. And there was such a explosions going off. I wondered, what on earth was the matter? Because we'd never seen the sight of a German plane all the time. The only place that was holding out was Dunkirk. And all they were doing there, the troops were just keeping them hemmed in. They were just stopping them from taking out. That was all. And... we wondered what on earth it was. We found out later that it had been friendly fire to RAF planes, apparently, supposed to be bombing Dunkirk, and it hit Cali. And I've got it down in my diary.
What, you got the date, have you?
I've got the dates. Tuesday, the 27th of February, 1945, there was this, these bombs that dropped. That's what we found the word after, bombs. And we couldn't understand it, because we'd never seen a German plane. And there was heavy casualties. The windows were knocked out, the billets and everything, and the place was shaken up. And it wasn't later on we realised how much. On the Saturday, the 3rd of March, was the funeral. There was 110 victims buried that day in the mass funeral, and the DLI band was there. And I've got it here. There was missing 11, there was killed 120, injured 200, and that was five bombs. RAF accident, thought it was Dunkirk.
And what had they hit and caused so much?
Right in the middle of Cali. And everybody was just going around their own business. They hit the buildings and everything, you say.
And many of those would be civilians.
Oh, they were nearly all civilians. Nearly all civilians. Yes.
Was there a reaction from the French after that?
There wasn't. There wasn't. I'm surprised, but there wasn't any reaction at all. Probably they didn't get to know what it was. They probably thought it was German planes. I mean, I don't know. But we knew that there was something going somewhere, and we got to know later on what it was.
And were you called out to do anything when that happened?
But we went out to try and help as much as we possibly could. And it was another bad time. Nasty time.
What happened to you after that?
Well, we carried on with our duties, and then we were transferred from there up to Hamburg.
On the end of the war now?
On the port, just about on the end of the war. We were on the ports there. The river and that at Hamburg was all frozen over. It was so cold. And I was in the hospital umpteen times.
What was causing this?
The shattering of the nerves that I'd been through. And then I was demobbed from there.
What were you doing in Hamburg exactly?
On the gates of the docks. And every time I went round, I had to have the loaded revolver all the time. It had to be loaded all the time. Because you were in enemy territory. You didn't know what was going to happen. But as a matter of fact, they were quite subdued. They had a heavy... The place was a mess. The heavy bombings they had had. Oh, there just wasn't much standing. Not much standing at all. And
there was a non-fraternisation regulation.
Non-fraternisation. You weren't allowed to fraternise.
Did you get involved in that, in the sense that you had to deal with soldiers who were fraternising?
You had to deal with them, yes. I had to put one of my sergeants on a charge because I'd gone to visit the sites and I'd gone to this particular gate and he wasn't there. And I thought, well, where on earth is he? So I sent a driver around the other gates to have say that they were all right, and I stayed where I was. Then the sergeant came back with a Fraulein he'd been with. I had to put him on a charge. I couldn't do any other. Then it went to a court-martial. There was definitely no fraternisation allowed.
That was very strictly adhered to.
Very strictly adhered to, yes. I mean, you had Germans in your mess. German girls serving, but there was... That's all they were doing, serving. And there was no fraternisation allowed. I'm not going to say it didn't go on. You can't stop these
things. Well, it was ultimately lifted, wasn't it?
It was ultimately lifted, yes. After the war finished, yes.
What are your memories of VE Day, when the war in Germany ended? Where were you and what were you doing?
It was Hamburg.
What are your memories of what you were, of that news coming through?
Well, we were... highly satisfied. They were happy that at last it was over and we were going to be home again. And you kept looking forward to your draft. Is it going to be us next, or when are we going to go, you know? And it was February 1946 when I finally came from Hamburg.
That's a long time after the war ended, in effect.
Yes, yes. 1946, February.
Was it frustrating waiting for so long?
It was, because you would expect your name to be on the list any time. And you just had to wait and wait and wait.
What kind of law-breaking was going on that you were involved in Hamburg?
Not a great day, really. Not a great day. There wasn't much to do, because it was a massive ruins.
German troops who were surrendering, did you see that?
Oh, they never saw any of them.
You didn't
see
any of those coming through? Them.
No, they would be all away from then.
So in February you got demobbed from Hamburg.
Yes, came back.
What happened to you then?
Hamburg to York, where we went to got our civilian clothes, we got our other things.
Did you have a medical?
Given us. We had medicals, yeah. I've been airborne right the way through, and I was B1 when it came to the final medical.
And this again was more emotional and mental than physical?
It was emotional, yes. Terrible.
And what did that entail? I mean, what kind of medical did they give you to discover your problem?
Well, I had to tell them who I was failing and things like this. And I mean, at Ostend, actually, they put me, the operated on me for appendicitis.
On your way back?
No, this was as we were going up, before I went up to Hamburg. And it didn't sort of settle us down. So whether I had appendicitis or not, or whether it was just the turmoil, I don't know. I've got 3 abscesses on the cut as well, so I was in 13 weeks hospital.
And where was this?
In Ostend.
In Ostend, which is a long spell.
Oh, yes, because I was just like a big egg. In fact, the 3 marks, you can see where the 3 were. And it was just like a big egg coming up. When that was burst and the pus was taken away, then there was another one started, and apparently there were stitch abscesses.
And was this a military hospital?
A military hospital, yes, yes.
So when you got back to DMOB and you were medically examined and your record, this presumably graded you at B1, as you said.
It graded as B1, yeah.
Did that mean that you were in a pension situation? Did it give you a pension?
I tried for a pension and I had to go through to Newcastle. And I got one for 2 year. Now, you got a one for 2 year, and at the end of that 2 year, you got a lump sum. What I didn't know was, it shouldn't have taken that lump sum. It should have put in an appeal. Once you take the lump sum, that's finished. But I put in later on, and I had to go and see a professor at Newcastle, and he was the one that got me the war pension. Yeah.
But when you finished in the army, got your uniform, you were out, did you get some money for the army for your length of service? Gratuities?
Yes, I did get gratuity, yes, because when I came home here, these houses were being sold very, very cheaply, and I bought 2 houses, one for us and one for our mum and dad in this street. In fact, this house and the one next door. They were very, very cheap, and I used my gratuity for that.
How much gratuity did you get?
There were 100 and... these houses were £125. That was the price.
For the 2 of them?
That's the price I paid, £125. And, of course, I was careful with sergeant's money, and I didn't gamble or drink or anything, so I didn't spend a great lot. It was more or less all coming home. And
so you had a little bit of money?
So I had a little bit of money put.
How did you settle down in civilian life? Was it difficult
it was
in the beginning?
Great difficulty. I lost more jobs than I can there, think about how I got back to the gas company where I had to take it on again. But I was losing more work than enough. I would set out to go to work and I would come back.
Was this stress related?
Stress related, all stress related. I would go for a walk, but I would take my bicycle so that I could get back quickly. And things like this, your head was just, you just couldn't think, you couldn't get settled. Your head was in proper turmoil, agony. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, not even the worst enemy. I wouldn't wish it on them at all. I've said time and time again, I would rather have two broken legs, because I know that it's not going to take long before they heal. But this, you couldn't.
And you say you still get nightmares even
today? Oh, I still get them. I'm still on tablets now. I've been on since 1945, 46.
When you got your lump sum after 2 years, what did they give you?
Oh, I can't remember. Afterward,
you said that you went to get to see about pensions, and they gave you initially.
Oh, the
yeah. How much did you get?
Well, it was at 60%, 60%, and it was backdated to a certain time, and it's coming handy. But I would rather have my health.